From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns commences his fourth message in a short series dealing with Romans chapter 8. The text is verses 5 and 6, in which the Apostle Paul draws a distinction between those who are after the flesh and those who are after the Spirit. In introducing the message, Dr. Cairns explains that this is not a reference to the difference between carnal Christians and spiritually healthy believers. Rather, it is the distinction between those who are lost and those who are truly saved. Appropriately, the message is entitled, Saints and Sinners Infallibly Identified and Eternally Separated. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 21. The glorious Lord will be unto us a place of broad rivers and streams. Broad rivers and streams produce fertility and abundance in the land. Places near broad rivers are remarkable for the variety of their plants and their plentiful harvests. God is all this to his church. Having God, she has abundance. What can she ask for that he will not give her? What want can she mention which he will not supply? In this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things. Do you want the bread of life? It drops like manna from the sky. Do you want refreshing streams? The rock follows you, and that rock is Christ. If you suffer any want, it is from your own fault. If you are straitened, you are not straitened in him, but in your own heart. Broad rivers and streams also point to commerce. Our glorious Lord is to us a place of heavenly merchandise. Through our Redeemer we have commerce with the past, the wealth of Calvary, the treasures of the covenant, the riches of the ancient days of election, the stores of eternity, all come to us down the broad stream of our gracious Lord. We have commerce, too, with the future. What galleys laden to the water's edge come to us from the millennium? What visions we have of the days of heaven upon earth! Through our glorious Lord we have commerce with angels, communion with the bright spirits washed in blood who sing before the throne. Nay, better still, we have fellowship with the Infinite One. Broad rivers and streams are specially intended to set forth the idea of security. Rivers were of old a defense. Oh, beloved, what a defense is God to his church! The devil cannot cross this broad river of God. How he wishes he could turn the current! But fear not, for God abides immutably the same. Satan may worry, but he cannot destroy us. No galley with oars shall invade our river, neither shall gallant ship pass thereby. The greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preaching during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of Duncan Campbell's own account of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. There is also a CD containing the personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. Either CD is $5, or you may obtain both for $8, which includes postage and handling. To obtain your own copy, simply send a check for either or both CDs to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of the revival on the Isle of Lewis. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
The whole chapter is an exposition, inspired of God, of that one wonderful statement with which the chapter commences. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. All that follows in the chapter is the exposition of that statement. And I have in the past given the overview of how the argument proceeds, taking a bird's eye view of it. Now we're going through verse by verse, or a couple of verses at a time, as tonight, for example, as we see how the apostle deals with some of the greatest truths that can engage the mind of a Christian, or indeed, that can engage the mind of one who's still outside of Christ. We're going to commence again at the beginning of the chapter, only we're going to read a little further this evening. We're going to read to the end of verse 11. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his precious and inspired word for his name's sake. We come tonight to verses 5 and 6 of Romans chapter 8. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. As we approach this text, there are a couple of things that we must be absolutely clear about. Otherwise, we will come to some very dangerously wrong interpretations. First of all, we must understand that this text of Scripture deals with sinners and saints. They that are after the flesh, they that are after the Spirit. It does not deal with two kinds of Christian. It has been a very popular interpretation of this general passage that it is all about sanctification. We will see in a moment it will have a lot to say about the sanctification of saints. But there is a popular theology that makes this text speak of the carnal Christian walking after the flesh and the spiritual Christian walking after the Spirit. The text is most certainly not dealing with two kinds of Christians. You try to force that interpretation on it, you make utter nonsense of the text. And believe me, when you come to God's Word, and your interpretation of any given passage makes the Scripture talk nonsense, back up and understand the only nonsense that's being talked is the nonsense you're talking. The Bible does not talk nonsense. Let's get that. I remember as a young fellow, having been influenced by this kind of interpretation of Romans 8, coming to this passage and trying to make sense of this, where it says that they who are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh, and to be carnally minded is death. And then a little later on, it's speaking again of dying. And I thought, well, I think this is the only sense you can make of it. It's death to your prayer life. It's death to your love. And of course, that's rubbish. It's nonsense. This is death he's talking about. The people in this text that are called by some the carnal Christian are actually those whom the apostle says are enmity against God. They are people who cannot please God, verse 8, who have not the Spirit of Christ, verse 9, and who are none of His. And of course we have the inspired statement of the apostle when he's speaking to the believers here. He says, verse 9, ye are not in the flesh. Now he's not talking about having out-of-body sensations. He's saying, by what I mean by in the flesh, you are saved. You are not in the flesh. That's God's statement. So those who are in the flesh are not carnal Christians. They are simply unsaved people. That's the first thing to keep in mind as we come to this passage. The second thing to keep in mind is closely allied to it. Read the passage carefully. And I will guarantee something. I will guarantee to you that almost, if you've ever heard a sermon on it, which is, in many cases, if you haven't been in this congregation, most unlikely, because this is not a passage of Scripture that a lot of preachers bother themselves preaching. Oh, they preach toward the end of the passage. They'll preach about nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, but this part doesn't get a lot of attention, which is a tragedy that I'm not going to talk about much tonight. I was thanked this. I had not mentioned Krista Habiger by name, but she was thanking me for the blessing of this morning's lengthy sermon. So I don't want to be too lengthy here tonight. But it is a tragedy that so many preachers ignore this. But those who do touch on it, and I guarantee if you've heard any sermons, this is most likely where they've gone. That this is a passage that's used as an exhortation to Christians to live after the Spirit. This is a passage that's used to encourage, to stir up, to tell Christians their duty about living after the Spirit. But look at the passage carefully. There's not a word of exhortation in it. Now, Paul does exhort. That'll come in its proper time. He has already been doing that if you go back to the earlier part, for example, in chapter 6. Paul does exhort. But this is not a passage to encourage Christians to live after the Spirit. This is not the language of exhortation at all. This is the language of plain statement. This is a statement of fact regarding sinners and regarding saints. We are told some things about sinners. We're told some things about saints. Now, generally speaking, thus far, the Apostle Paul has proved that a justified man is by divine necessity also a sanctified man. Last week I pointed out justification never comes alone. Justification is a legal term, but God always sanctifies those whom he justifies. Justification is in union with Christ, and that vital union with Christ is a union that produces a real holiness, a change of our very being, where we are made new creatures in Christ. So he has proved that a justified man is of necessity a sanctified man. Now he continues, and the emphasis is that an unsanctified man is by definition not a justified man. Follow Paul's reasoning here. If he's after the flesh, then he says, the mind of the flesh is death. So he's under condemnation. But the whole text of the chapter is, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation to the justified. So therefore, these people who are after the flesh, under condemnation, are not justified. You see, the justified by faith in Christ have this mark about their lives. They walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For, that's how our text commences, because they that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. I want us tonight to think of this, that the saved and the lost each bear a peculiar mark, a mark that distinguishes them in this life and will separate them for all eternity. So here's the subject of the text tonight. Saints and sinners, infallibly identified or distinguished, and eternally separated.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.